Welcome to Writing Fright. I'm your host and fellow writer, Tanner Rutledge. If you enjoy the show, hop on iTunes and give us a review. It's the quickest way to help people find the show and let us know what we're doing right. If you like the show, let us know what we're doing wrong. Shoot me an email at writingfright@gmail.com or hook up with us on Instagram and Facebook at Writing Fright. I do share a lot of stuff there, and I'm really wanting to get you guys engaged. We're going to get into the check-in, and something that I would like to do is not just talk about my accomplishments for the week and not just talk about my word counts, but actually talk about you guys and build a community here where we're all keeping each other accountable and we're all celebrating each other's little victories. So go to Facebook, go to Instagram at writingfright.com and post your accomplishments. If you want to be mentioned on the show, please let me know or email it to me at writingfright@gmail.com. Tell me what your word count was. Tell me something that helped you get that word count. Tell me something that helped you reach your goals as a writer this week going forward. Usually I record these on Sunday, so try to get those in by Saturday. All right, so getting into my check-in. I had a goal of 6,000 words for my novel, and then 300 words for a short story. And I hit my goal of 6,000. I did not get my stretch goal of 300 in the short story. Work was just too much this week. But I came in at 6,106 words in my novel. I am super happy about that. It got a little tight. Saturday, I ended up putting in about 2,000 words, but I'm very, very happy with that. Looks like Fridays and Saturdays are going to be my heavier writing days where I can sit down for a few hours at a time and really get to know the story and really get into that deep writing and let my right brain take control. And those are my favorite times to write. Doing a first draft, it's all about getting it down on paper. So if you're doing 500 words, you're doing 1,000 word sprints, I'm doing that Monday through Thursday. But the Friday and Saturday writings are probably my favorite because I get to sit with my characters and I get to sit with the story and really get into that, just into it and into a deeper level. And I'm really enjoying that. Something that helped me this week is going to be getting up earlier and writing first. So I got up early to have more time to write, had breakfast with my family, and then I would sit down before work. And before work, I would hammer out. I got 1,000 words Monday through Thursday. I got 1,000 words Monday, Tuesday, 500 words Wednesday. I wasn't able to get anything Thursday, and then I made the rest up on Friday and Saturday. But a really good week. And I noticed that the way my job works, I work from home. I do my creative stuff first at my job. So I'm sitting down, I'm doing the copy, I'm doing the social media posts, and I'm doing all the marketing and things that are revving up for my prospecting. And then I move into my calls and I'm talking to people. And if I write first before I go into work, I notice I'm just in a better mood throughout the day. And I'm more creative because that I'm really engaged in that. Part of me is turned on when I'm getting into the marketing side of it. But yeah, I'm just really, really enjoying getting up and writing first. So that is something that really helped me this week. Make sure I don't have another note on that. Nope, that's it. All right, guys. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be going over some resources that have really helped me. And I think could help you guys. All right, welcome back to the show. Getting into this, these are resources for horror writers. Now, I had it outlined a little bit different, but I'm going to call an audible, and I'm going to take this through things that you need as a beginning writer and going on up to getting a manuscript together and writing your work. So the first thing that you're going to need to do, that you're going to need as a writer, is you're going to need to read. And buying books is something that you do end up spending quite a bit of money on. I do anyway. That's probably my biggest non-essential expense is going to be the books that I buy, because I read a lot. When I'm not writing, I'll read two or three novels a week. And a library card comes in really, really handy for that. So read in your genre, read beside your genre, read writers that you've heard have done things that are interesting, that they use tricks that might come in handy for you. So read a lot, get a library card. Also, librarians are fantastic. Most of the larger libraries have some sort of writer's reference and an area to go to if you want to research how to structure a novel, if you want to research how to structure different stories, you want to research genres. They have resources there, and librarians are amazing. They love to give you information. It's what they're there for, so go use that resource, especially if it is available to you for free. Next, you're going to need to write, you know, pen, paper works. Most of the time, if you're submitting stuff, it's going to have to be in a Word document and formatted a certain way. So you're going to need Word, which is done by Microsoft. It is not free. You can also use Google Docs. I've written in Google Docs. It's very easy to share, especially if you're collaborating with your editor. A lot of the stuff that I write for magazines where I'm collaborating with an editor, or maybe I'm working with another writer, which I actually don't do that last one very much. I'm not a fan of co-authoring things. But if you're collaborating with anybody, Google Docs is fantastic because you can see those real time. If your editor has something they want you to change, maybe a site. For my nonfiction, like maybe a citation's wrong, or there's something that's not clear that the editor's catching, they can highlight that, kick it back, and I can find it. It's easy, fix it super fast, and it's basically instantaneous on their computer. So Google Docs is fantastic for that. You can write Note, you can use Librae, just get some sort of word processor that you can sit down, type, and get words down. When you start out, you first start writing, it's really about quantity, and then you start learning different things with quality. So just get something so you can sit down and write. Now learning to write and resources for learning how to structure. And I'm going to go ahead and click over to that. I am a huge fan of Udemy.com. There's a couple of classes that I took in there that I've taken in there. One of them that was a big help for horror was So You Want to Be a Horror Writer by Safira. I hope I'm saying this last name right. Sophia Girin. It's the class that's got a picture of a book that's open, and it looks like there's a bunch of kids and monsters on there trick-or-treating. So You Want to Be a Horror Author. That was, or a horror writer, excuse me. That was an amazing class. It is very basic, goes down the basics of the entire industry in horror. It breaks down all of the subgenres, gives you a pretty rich history, and then it goes into marketing and into things that are on the business side that you that maybe you wouldn't necessarily think of. I'm going to pull up the syllabus. I've got the hiccups. That's a great thing to have on a podcast. So yeah, this goes through elements of a novel. So basic fundamental things you're going to have to know to really put a story together. Exploring the horror story, where it goes through all of the tropes and subgenres. Publishing, they touch on writing tools, sprint writing, team writing. And then it gets into some of the business stuff when it gets into networking, doing group writings. It goes over agents, and it goes over marketing and promoting your material. And it's just it was a really, really good 9,000-foot overview of what the horror industry was like. I was incredibly pleased with that class. And with Udemy, a lot of these classes are like $75 to $100, but you can catch them on sale. And there's a sale just about every other week. I bought 5 classes, and I think I paid about $75 for all of them. I'm going to back out. There's another one. If you can't touch type, it's going to be very, very hard to write a book. Or it's going to be hard to write a short story that's 5,000 words. It's going to take you time, and you're going to be pulled out of the story. It's a lot easier if you can look and you can edit at the screen as you're typing. It's made it so much faster for me. Touch Typing Mastery. That one is by Thomas McDonald. It is a really, really good class. I went into that when I started writing this book. I wrote my first 7,000 words peck typing, basically looking at the keyboard and throwing my fingers around, searching for keys as I was writing. I took that class, and by the end of it, I could touch type. It wasn't super fast. I was at like 40 words a minute peck typing. When I finished that class, I was around 20 words a minute actually typing correctly. And in going through the novel, I am way, way, way above where I was with the peck typing now. I haven't tested it in a while, but I know I'm above 50 or 60 words a minute now, which I know for a lot of you writers that do know how to type, you guys are doing like 90 to 120 words a minute or something crazy. But that was a massive improvement and something that really, really helped me when I sat down and was like, oh man, I'm serious about writing. I should probably learn how to touch type. And for those of you that haven't, it is not as bad as you think it is. I don't want to say it was like super easy, but it was nowhere near as complicated as I thought it was going to be. So touch typing. There's another one called Foundations of Fiction Writing. This is done by Writing Mastery. It's Jessica Brody. Yeah, Jessica Brody. I've got a couple of classes from her, but that one goes through the fundamentals of writing a good story. It doesn't matter if it's a novel. It doesn't matter if it's a short story or flash fiction. This sets you up with a deep understanding of the elements of a story, from characterization to plot elements to doing twists and doing different tricks and stuff with your writing. It was a really, really good class, and it put some extra stuff in my tool belt as an author. Again, that's Foundations of Fiction with Jessica Brody. Another one that's really good is Sell Your Novel to a Major Publisher. Again, that's by Jessica Brody, and that one just focuses on the business side. That's how to I'm going to the class real quick, pull up the syllabus, and it's pulling up. There we go. So it goes over traditional versus self-publishing, writing and revising the novel. So it does go over revising the novel. It goes over agents, creating your pitch. It goes over writing your query letter, the hook. So that got pretty deep into the query letter. Researching your agents, submitting stuff to agents, how to sell your novel. And it goes basically through the publishing process. This is a very in-depth class. It's worth the money. Even if you end up paying a little bit more for it, I don't remember what I paid for this one, but it was worth the money. Another one is, where did you go? A novel writing workshop. I haven't done that one yet. So sorry. My throat is super dry. So novel writing workshop. This one's with Steve Alcorn, published author and educator. I have not gone into that class yet, so I'm going to pull it up. I haven't taken it. Dramatic element, characters, story structure. That's right. This is the one that teaches you how to build stories in a three-act structure. So if you are doing a three-act structure, actually did take some of that class. It's good. Definitely though, if you're wanting to write horror, I recommend you taking the So You Want to Be a Horror Writer. All right. So another educational resource is the Horror Writers Association. I joined this pretty quick. I heard about it actually through the So You Want to Be a Horror Writer class. And it has been amazing. I'm going to go through, I'm going to talk about some of the benefits of being a member. It's not super expensive. It is worth every penny, especially if you're looking to, sell anything. And if you're looking to seriously get into horror writing. So I am in the members section, and this is really important. And this is getting into selling your stuff. They have market sheets, and they have a markets page. It breaks things down from professional paying markets to semi-professionally paying markets, token paying markets, and even poetry, professional paying markets. So what a market is basically a website that lists submissions that publishers are looking for whenever they do an open call, whenever they open the doors and say, all right, authors, I am looking to publish a novel that is about a six-headed dragon ghost haunting a pine cone, or whatever stipulations they put in there, whatever story they're looking for, or if they're just looking to publish a new author with a 500,000, well, no, with a 50,000 word to an 80,000 word novel. This is where you're going to find it. So basically it is this long, long page of links, that you click onto it. And it takes you to a place that, that gives you an opportunity to send in some of your stuff. And guys, if you make submissions, if you are looking to get short stories in magazines, if you're looking to get a novel in front of a publisher or an indie press, these markets outline the exact format that needs to be in. The gives you the margin spaces, it gives you the font, it gives you the it gives you the font size. Make sure you follow that to the letter or it will be rejected. There is no way around that. There's no exception to that rule. Follow the rules in the submission guidelines in the markets. Now, if you are not a Horror Writer Association member and you don't have access to this specific page, you can go to places like darkmarkets.com. That's got a list of submissions, and horrortree.com is another place that I do a lot of my short story submissions and things like that. When it comes to where can you get published, that is where you find out. All right, guys, we are going to, my throat is getting super dry. I'm going to take a quick break and then I will be right back. All right, I'm back. Sorry about that. I didn't know what was going on. My mic is actually covered in dust, and every time I was breathing in, I was inhaling that. So that is taken care of. Safira Girone, that is the author and teacher of the class from Udemy. So You Want to Be a Horror Writer. So I did totally butcher that name earlier. FYI. All right. So getting back into what I was talking about, we left off with the markets. Make sure you follow those to the T. And that's gonna get you paid as a writer. if you submit to those, you have a good story and you follow those submission guidelines. When you submit stories, when things are rejected, don't let that get to you. There's a lot of information. There's a lot of things that authors tell us, that different books tell us, that it just kind of goes in one ear and out the other because it's the common line. But it really is when your story is rejected, it's not just because it's a bad story. I mean, it might be, but more often than not, they may have just taken a story that's very similar to the one that you submitted. They might not have room for it. They might have liked it, but it just didn't fit with what they were going for. So, or there may have been something that was wrong with the story. They liked it, but there's one thing that they didn't like, and they sent it back to you with recommendations on how to change that story. If you get something back that's not a dear author form letter, and they give you specific things to, they pointed out that would make your story stronger, I highly, highly, highly recommend that you take that advice. If it makes sense to you, and if you want to go with that magazine or that publisher, make those changes and then resubmit it. I think a lot of you would be surprised at how many of those might actually get published. So that's just a word of advice with that. All right. So getting into writing longer fiction, working on a novel, it's a huge project. It's something that you have to stay organized with. And I'm not a pantser. I can't sit down and just, well, I do some short stories in Flash that way, but I can't just sit down and do 70,000 words for a horror novel. flying by the seat of my pants. So I plot and I keep track of notes on subplots, character notes, character descriptions, backstories, everything that I need to know about the people, places, and things, and an outline of my story. And when I started doing it, I did it with flashcards, and I would just get a box of the little cue cards, the little flashcards, and write the stuff on it, put it in a box, a flashcard box, put the name of the story on it. And that was how I did my outline. My outline is basically a sentence that describes the scene, and it's done on flashcards so that I can pull it out, lay it across the bed, lay it across the table, see everything in order. And when I do my first outline before I start writing, I have a direction that I'm going because I know how I want the story to end. I don't have the details of it, but I know how I want the story to end. And I try to plot to where I'm anywhere from 5 to 10 scenes ahead. Right now, I've got plotted out about 10 scenes ahead of where I am right now. So with this particular one, I'm shooting at about 800 to 1200 words per scene because I'm pacing it like a thriller. About 10,000 words, 8,000 to 10,000 words ahead. It helps me know where the story is going. It helps me keep things organized. Also, if I forget, I'm like, oh man, did I have, this person, did I have a subplot going where there was a romantic interest here? Did I have a subplot going where this person was lying about something? I have my note cards and I can pull that out. So old school, what I would do is I would use note cards in OneNote, Microsoft OneNote, to store all of my notes and all of those ideas. I would use both because I wanted a hard copy and I wanted a digital copy. And then I would write it in Word. I did Google Docs a couple times, but I was a big fan of Word. Times have progressed. There's a much, much easier way to do that. And a way that doesn't take up so much room. So while on the current work that I'm working on, I use the note cards. I started using the note cards. I stopped using them because I switched over and I started using a special word processor for writers. And I'm going to talk about two of those. The first one is totally free. This is an open source program. It's called YWriter. And I'll have a link in the show notes to where you can download that. It breaks things down. You can write scene by scene. You can separate things out chapter by chapter. It'll compile stuff for you. It keeps track of the point of views so that you have a little chart that shows if you're writing third person and you have several POV characters. I think the most I've had at one time was 3 or 4. You can see if like one character who is not actually who you're thinking of as the main character, if they are taking up a large chunk of the POV or of the story in POV point of view, or their point of view, you can see that in the chart, which is pretty cool. I did not like YWriter. The system itself is not super user friendly. I know people that write with it and love it. I didn't like the aesthetic. I'm very tactile. I'm very into things having a certain feel and touch. And it was too cold for me. I know that sounds super weird. I totally understand that is super weird, but that's why I did not like YWriter. I didn't like the aesthetic. So I moved over to Scrivener. Scrivener is not free. So Scrivener will give you a free 30-day trial so that you can try it out. That's going to give you enough time to write at least one short story. So you go from start to finish, do the compile, put it together, and by the time you finish one story, you should have a pretty good working knowledge of Scrivener. A lot of people say there's a learning curve with it. I got it after doing one short story. YWriter was a totally different story. That's I found it to be not very user friendly. And I had a much easier time with Scrivener. I also like the note cards in Scrivener. The pegboard, again, it had that feel that I'm used to because I'm used to having note cards to spread around. Scrivener has digital note cards. They actually look like note cards. So it felt like the old way of doing it. And I really liked it. I just had a lot of fun. With Scrivener, you can split things up however you want to. If you want to write straight through in one document, you can write straight through in one document. Scrivener was going to save all of the program, and I'm actually going to pull it up so I can look at it while I'm talking to you. Scrivener saves all of the information that you have in the file. So as a word processor, when I'm looking down the left-hand corner, I see file folders, which I use as markers for my chapters. Inside of those file folders are sheets that represent each scene. And it goes down. I'm actually looking at my outline down toward the bottom on the left hand. It's got all of my character sheets. So all of the sheets that I've made for my main characters, my POVs, my side characters. It's got a tab for places. So the sets where things are actually happening. I like to do maps. I like to do floor plans. The one I'm working on right now revolves mainly around a haunted cabin. Not really a cabin, but a haunted house in a secluded area. And I've got all that mapped out so that when I'm writing and when there's a scene where they're jumping between rooms, when they're running through the woods, when they're doing different things, I can look at that map and I can actually see where they're going. And it just, it helps me keep track of it. I had one scene. Well, okay. I had a chapter. I had two POV characters. I had one on one side of the house that was doing something. I had one on the other side of the house. And the sun was moving across the sky. It moved from one window to the other. I needed to make sure that lined up. And I had that on my map to help with that. So I'm also, it's in the mountains. So there's some ridges. And when I'm talking about shadows, because it's a haunting book. So when I'm talking about the sun moving and I'm talking about how the shadows are coming in through the windows, knowing the position of that property is super important to me. And this allows me to do that so that I can add those details in for believability and for my readers and just to add something to the story. Also, if I notice that something is not in the right order, sorry, my voice got super loud. If I notice that something's not in the right order, like one of my characters in the story that I'm writing is not actually with the other two. She is on her way. And so I'm bouncing back and forth a little bit in the first part of the book. If I notice that if I do a scene with this particular character in between these two chapters, it helps me to build suspense. I can just click and drag that chapter into place and it moves all those documents. So when I did that in Word, I would have to basically set up a bunch of file folders and a bunch of stuff in Word, and then I would have to copy and paste to compile those things in this, or I'd have to write it in one long document and then copy and paste or copy and move. And it ended up being a nightmare every time I tried to do it. That's why it's one of the reasons I never finished a novel when I was writing in Word. I never finished anything over about 6,000 words using Word. And in Scrivener, I'm well past 20,000 in this one. For one of those reasons is for that reason I can move things around. Now, I don't edit when I write. I've said that a couple of times. But if I want to click drop and drag, if I notice, oh, it'd be really cool if there was a scene there. Yeah, I can write a scene and just drop it in without messing anything up. And I love that with Scrivener. It's one of the main reasons that I decided to to pay the $49 and actually get it. So this costs $49, but write a story with it, try to sell that story, and that could pay for it. What did I do? DoorDash. Yeah. So there are a ton of apps where you can go out and deliver food. There's a ton of apps where you can go out and do different things. If you have an hour and you're in an area that's got a pretty good population, you can jump out, To be safe, I'm going to say 2 hours. If you have 2 hours to spend, you can jump out and do a DoorDash or something, make the $49 and buy Scrivener. It is worth it. Even if you do not write professionally, if you write this and you never sell it, it has just made writing so much fun. It's also got a cool setting in it. And this is turning into an infomercial for Scrivener, and I did not intend that. But it's got a button that puts in a typewriter mode, and it blacks out everything else on my computer except for the page that I'm writing. It's one of my favorite features. I do get distracted pretty easy, so this is something that really helps me to get the job done. But yeah, and that's what this episode is about: the tools to get the job done and things that will help you as a horror writer. The biggest two on this list are the Horror Writers Association and Scrivener. Probably those are my two big ones, followed very closely by the Udemy courses and the library. So yeah, if you don't take anything else from that, those four things are incredibly important to me personally to get my writing done. And this is dragging on, and this episode's getting a bit longer than I intended it to. So we are going to go ahead and end that here. I'm going to have links to everything that I mentioned in the show notes. And if you guys have questions, feel free to reach out. I'm available at writingfright@gmail.com. You can click the link in the bottom of the show notes to leave an actual voice message on the show, or connect with me on Facebook and Instagram at writingfright. So guys, it was good talking to you. I will see you. Well, you'll hear me next Monday.